Hey guys, this is Decade Later, aka Anthony Conrad, and this is Sales and Stanzas. Today we're going to be talking about design and what you really need to be focusing on in terms of where you're going with your project, with your company, and who are you really designing for? Are you designing for yourself? Are you designing for your clients? Or are you designing for a real end user case, a real problem to solve? So thank you for listening, and here we go with Sales and Stanzas. Design. Now, when you think of design, are you really designing in terms of what you may think of web or graphic design? Are you thinking about images, or are you really, really going to the basic necessities of a solution? And this is something that a lot of companies don't really think about, and it's something that I really wish I knew more about when I started in my companies, in my startup career. I have an MBA, but none of my coursework was in design, and honestly, I think it's more valuable than any corporate finance, business law, ethics, accounting, strategic management courses could ever be. The basis of this honestly comes down to form over function. Things that you design should be intuitive, and one of the most essential parts of the design process is inclusion. This does really, really tap into not just designing for your markets or future markets, but in a human-centric way. Is this really designed for who I'm selling to, or is this designed for me and my team? Nobody thinks their baby's ugly. That's a very famous phrase that I use a lot with my clients, and it's a little confusing in English, and it's really confusing in Spanish. Because nobody in business really talks that way. But it is absolutely true. You work on this 24/7. You work really hard. You get the product out to market. And then nobody uses it. Nobody wants to use it. And you wonder why. And a lot of people are really scared of having those conversations. And even when they do have those conversations, they say, oh, I'm open to feedback. Are you really open to feedback? Are you really open to design thinking, and are you really open to things that are going to make you cry a little bit, make you a little bit mad? People are going to insult your product. They're going to tear it apart. They're going to say, I like this, but. And being from the American South, I know as soon as you hear but, you're going to hear some negative stuff. And people may think, oh, they're haters, or they don't know what they're talking about. In reality, they know what they're talking about because they're the people who are going to make your solution either succeed or fail. This is the market, and the market speaks, and the market is what decides what works and what doesn't work. This is the basis of any startup, and this is even why companies like Airbnb had to restart at least a few, I think it was like three or five times. I'll have to look up the number, but this is something that it really does go back to modern agile techniques, something that I learned later in my career, which is if you're going to fail, fail fast. I love talking about my old jobs because it helped me understand what I was meant to do in life. Especially in terms of what I'm doing for my career. It's something that I knew I was good at sales, and I knew that I was good at I was good at marketing in some ways, but I really didn't know until I really got out and tried. I've been a gardener, a janitor, a boat builder, a cook. Line cook for 2 days, I think. I've been a waiter, busboy, host, bartender, English teacher, and I've worked for a lot of people. And honestly, it's one of those things that I really had to figure out what I was best at. And one thing that I really have found out through that is I love to tell stories and I love to talk with people. And this is all in the basis of my design methodology that I use in my work and in my consultancy and what I recommend to my clients. I love to tell stories, and before you can tell your story or somebody else's story, you need to really understand what you're going to say. You need to understand how to say it, and especially towards those that you're going to be selling to. I can tell the same joke five different times, and it's not funny to some people, and it's funny to other people. And this is exactly like what you're going to be doing with your solution. You need to really understand first and foremost, who am I selling to? But even before that, why am I even doing this? What am I trying to solve and why am I trying to solve it? If something doesn't need to be solved, then it doesn't need to be built. This is something that a lot of, even I see a lot of times in Colombia, where I live right now, the government spends a lot of money building these concrete bridges over major roads, and they're not designed well. And they aren't designed well, I can tell very well, because people don't use them. They would rather run across four, six lanes, eight lanes of traffic to get to where they need to go rather than going up this bridge. And it tells me absolutely that this is not designed well. When users are willing to not use your solution, even though you think it's an amazing solution, this is telling you that you need to redesign. And rather than going to experts, as everybody loves to do, PhDs, masters of the industry, going to books, going to writings and lectures from Peter Thiel and Elon Musk, especially Elon Musk after what he did recently. But the smartest people in the room will tell you, don't listen to me. Listen to your end user. Involve them in the design process and really listen. Really open your ears and don't talk. Really, really understand where they're coming from. Ask amazing questions. Dig deep. If you're asking yes and no questions, then you're not asking the right questions. Open-ended questions that are specifically targeted to what you want to understand and makes your user think are much better than yes or no's or questions that immediately come off the cuff. You want to ask hard questions. You want to make ask questions that maybe you think you know the answer to. And be prepared for that feedback and don't throw it away. I don't recommend having just a web form and you pick through the answers and choose what you want. Every single answer is worthwhile if the person took the time to actually answer it. And getting somebody to actually answer is going to be the hardest part. So, in terms of your design planning, you really need to have all your feedback, all your change management, how you're going to adjust the product based on this feedback, and also know what's bullshit feedback. This is something that a lot of companies don't plan for. They get feedback and either they listen to too many voices or they don't listen to the ones that are hard, really critical. They also put a lot of bias in terms of their feedback solutions. This is, could be gender bias, this could be professional bias. Is this person a PhD, or is this person just a regular average user who logged on and made one comment and then disappeared? Every single piece of feedback has to be looked at and designed for in this way if it's good. Like I said in my previous podcast about leads qualification, you need to qualify your feedback and understand where is the user coming from. Sometimes users have an axe grind, yes, but a lot of times they don't. They just genuinely are telling you exactly how it is. And a lot of people aren't ready for that. So design methodology is going to be in terms of your feedback systems, how you're going to accept that, how you're going to implement them, and do you actually go back to those people and show them that you listen to them? This is going to be really important for your growth hacking, is involving the individual user in the process, coming back to them again and again and again, but don't annoy them because users already are pretty shy about actually giving advice. It's going to take up their time, and you need to also show your appreciation for these users when they take the time to actually tell you. Don't just show appreciation by giving them some sort of swag or a gift card. Actually involve them in the process because a lot of times these users are really wanting a solution and they want to be part of something amazing. This can be seen in medical studies, especially. A lot of people who participate in them are thinking only to really contribute to science. This also has to come from your team too, especially your team members, and especially those who are not involved in design and development. Involve your receptionist, involve your secretaries, involve your interns, involve the cleaning people who are in your office. If you work in a office in a work sharing environment like WeWork or others, you have an immediate user pool there too. And back to a little bit on sales related to design. One of the things I really like, and it's really easy to do, if you're like me, I live in an apartment building. There's probably at least 20 apartments per building, and there's three or four towers here. So we're talking about a good user size group. Everybody complains that you never talk to your neighbors. Nobody ever talks to me. I don't know my neighbors. How many of your neighbors know that you're doing a startup? How many of your neighbors could use your solution? And how many of them could you actually meet and get to know by approaching them and saying, hey, could you try this out? And could you give me your feedback? You don't need to necessarily have a sheet of paper and questions prepared at that moment. But what I really recommend is either a phone or a good voice recorder. Android has a lot of really cool voice recorder apps, so does iOS. And the benefit of having a voice recording, and of course the consent of the person to record them, is you don't just get the answers, you get the emotion, you get the state of mind at that time. And this type of feedback, if the person's going to do that, definitely send them a thank you, send them a thank you note. Involve them in the next iteration. And if you actually implemented their suggestion, champion that. Because when a user realizes that, hey, they actually listened to me, they actually implemented what I said, and maybe it works or maybe it doesn't, but at least you're developing a relationship, and these users are going to be your first users, and these users are going to be the most honest and most willing to give this type of feedback. Obviously, right now, solutions like the iPhone, Twitter, Gmail, these are flooded with feedback every single day. And these companies don't have to ask for this type of feedback anymore because it's being volunteered. But to get to that traction point, you're gonna have to have that loyalty, and that all goes back to design thinking. Remember, form over function. Listen to your users, and as always, make sure to thank your users for their feedback and show them and champion when you do implement what they say and what they suggest. So, thank you for this first part of the listening to this first part of the podcast. I'm going to continue with one of my latest poems of tribute to the amazing flautist. Jazz flutist Bobby Humphrey. She's still touring, still on the road. You could find her on Instagram at Bobby Humphrey. She's regularly performing, especially for New Yorkers, at the Apollo Theater. I highly, highly recommend this. And also check out her album, Passion Flute. This was a record that she, after years of working with the Blue Note label, decided to take it on herself to produce, release an album, and sell it independently. And this was in the 90s, in the early, early days of the internet. And she has sold millions and millions of copies. And this is going to be a poem that I'm going to perform called Blacks and Blues. Thank you for listening, and keep hustling. Blacks and Blues. Life, full of ups and downs, crescendos and rests, high C sharps and staccatos. Ms. Bobby sings through her flute. I think and write, I express what I couldn't before. Or when I did, it fell on deaf ears. They call it blacks and blues. The bruises we see on our skin fade, but on the soul of a nation and a people, they slowly heal, but only when they are realized and accepted. Great things come in small packages and immovable intentions, leveraged and moved along when they should instead be broken to gravel. Slurred notes and journeys through music, lines on paper and in code, we observe, analyze, never compromise, as the blacks and blues, they still remain, only healing when we open our eyes, our ears, our souls, when it's your time to choose.